Hello, I am Chandu Nair. Welcome to the Entrevista interview with Ganapati Subramaniam, the co-founder and former CEO of the Bangalore-based Cosmic Circuit. Cosmic, which creates and licenses intellectual property to leading international semiconductor chip companies, was acquired early 2013 by the Silicon Valley-based Nasdaq-listed electronic design giant Cadence. Owing to non-disclosure agreements, Ganapati does not want to discuss specific numbers, something a fellow entrepreneur fully understands. Now, Ganapati, the first question I'm going to start out by asking you is, you had started out in 2005 with five co-founders who had worked earlier with you at Texas Instruments. By 2013, your company had 150 employees, was growing revenues 30 to 40% year on year, and you managed to get some great partners. So, two things I wanted to ask you. Can you tell us something about your top customers? And number two, how did this India-based product company do all this in just about, you know, a few years, 8 years to be precise?
So first, good morning. And so before I answer your question, let me briefly explain to you what Cosmic Circuits used to do. So we used to do this IP licensing, predominantly in the area of analog and mixed signal and connectivity IP. And so we used to do things like data converters, phase lock circuits, and analog front end for Wi-Fi, LTE, etc. In the connectivity area, we used to do USB 2.0, USB 3, HDMI, and we primarily concentrated on analog and mixed signal portion of all these protocols. So, so 7 years is so. So we started Cosmic in 2005, and as you rightly mentioned, in 2013 we are around 150 people. And at that time, we had nearly 500 IPs in our portfolio. And we, as you know, the TSMC is the top semiconductor foundry. And we won the Analog and Mixed Signal Partner Award twice from this foundry. And so the initial years, it took us some time because India was always believed to be a top country for services, which is mainly based on the cost arbitrage model. And for IP, it took some time for us to convince our customers that we can produce quality IP from India. So the initial years were tough, but once we got a reasonable brand that our IPs work in the customers' chips, we really started growing very fast. As you said, I mean, some of our customers, I mean, I can't mention all of our customers, but to just tell you a few customers, is Anobit, which got later acquired by Apple, was one of our customers. Imagination Technology from UK is our customer, and many customers all around the world, including you know, China, Japan, Korea, etc.
Okay, great. Now, but what happened after 8 years when you embarked on a long overseas journey sometime last year in 2012? It became apparently very clear to you that Cosmic Circuits could no longer remain an independent company. What happened to change your mind?
So when we started the company, we had a clear vision that you know, we wanted to create a very highly valuable company with several hundred million dollars of revenue. And we had started few business units, and one of the business unit which we had was this IP, which was actually doing very well, highly profitable business unit within Cosmic Circuits. But the problem we had was the area we played was analog and mixed signal and connectivity IP, where there are only you know, a handful of players. And the top guy is the company named Synopsys, which was 10 times more than revenue than Cosmic. We could really get a feeling from the customers, we could really get the feel from our partners that they really wanted an alternative to Synopsys. And they all believed Cosmic is the right company to go after it. But even though we had 500 IPs, 100 plus employees working in the IP division group, highly profitable business unit, we really had our IPs in all the top electronic gadgets and really running around something like more than 100 million units shipping with our IPs. It came to a point that you know, it's very difficult to grow, or it will take really a long time for us to grow if we continue with that rate. Because the first guy was Synopsys was 10 times bigger than us, and the second was Cadence, which was 4 times bigger than us. And for us to take to match up to Synopsys, it would probably take another 10 plus years. And who knows, what happened within the 10 years. So I could sense from the, my worldwide visit in 2012, almost all the customers wanted us to see whether we can grow inorganically. And at the same time, we know that the Cadence was actively wanted to increase their IP portfolio. And their portfolio was totally complementary. So they had just bought Denali, which is focusing on verification IP and DDRs. And our IP was more on analog and mixed signal and connectivity. And we really thought by combining, we could become a much, much better company and achieve our vision of creating a very highly valuable company from India. And so we never, when we started, we never had the vision that we will sell it off. But after this visit, we really found that it would take us very, very long time to reach our goal. And instead, by joining hands with Cadence, which had totally a complementary portfolio, we could achieve that vision of creating a highly valuable IP company from India much sooner.
Okay. Now, you realized that there was a need to integrate and become a larger company. And you also realized that Cadence had a complementary IP portfolio to yours. But what else made Cadence such a natural partner for Cosmic Circuits, so much so that you were able to close the transaction itself within under 3 months, which is quite spectacular?
Yeah, so the main reasons would be that all the EDA companies such as Cadence, Synopsys, Mentor wanted to see what else they can do to increase their business, and IP was a natural adder to them. And Synopsys and Cadence compete heavily in the EDA world. And Synopsys already had a very successful IP company, and Cadence really wanted to be there. And they showed it by doing a couple of things. One is they spent a lot of money in acquiring Denali. And the second is they brought in Martin Dillon, who used to run a $1 billion group in Broadcom, and to run an IP division, which if I recollect correctly, was around only around $40 to $50 million revenue. So they really showed that they brought in some really senior talent to make this IP successful. So and we had, as I mentioned to you before, we had totally a complementary portfolio. So all this, an industry wanted somebody who is really an alternative player to Synopsys. So they really wanted two strong companies in IP, and definitely one of them is Synopsys. They wanted the other. So all this put together, we thought Cadence is a very natural partner, and therefore, since we were very complimentary, there was a need, we could close the transaction in a relatively short time.
Great. Now, when you did this transaction, typically we have seen that when US companies do such an acquisition, that the due diligence tends to be a very thorough process, and in your case, it took as much as 6 weeks. Just for the benefit of many of our entrepreneur viewers, what exactly was involved in the diligence phase? What are some of the things that your company did right to make things go smoothly? And indicate, if any surprises were also there.
So the due diligence wise, it's a typical due diligence where they go through, every customer agreement, ensure all the litigation, if you have any legal notices, and bulk of employee records, etc., everything. So it was and of course Cadence is very, very thorough. They have a legal firm in US, they have a legal firm in India, and both put together, they did a very thorough review of all of our work for the last 7-8 years. Surprisingly, there are no big findings. I would expect that there are no big findings. And there are a few things which Cosmic did right, in my opinion. One is, though we were a startup, we were a self-funded startup, we never took a VC money. Immediately after 3 years, we brought in one of the top four firms to audit the company. So we really believe that our company should get audited by the top four, and we should be compliant to all the compliant laws very thoroughly. So that is something we took it very early, and maybe for the last 4 years we had that in place. The second is we also went through an ISO process, and we just got the ISO certification 6 months before our exit. And to get the ISO process, we just didn't want to get a certificate. We meticulously followed all the processes, and we ensured that all the processes were in place. So for example, in Cosmic, you could track any agreement from a customer, any PO raised, any NDA we have signed for the last 7 years, and the NDAs, for example, runs into thousands of documents, all will be scanned and kept, a soft copy would be kept in one place. So it was very, we were fully documented, the process was very thorough, we had all the documents in place, and we didn't have any, in fact, problems in going through the due diligence process. So as an advice to the entrepreneurs, the only thing I would say is, you know, as you grow the company, the excitement is growing the business, but you know, you need to step aside and really take a lot of efforts in getting this process done, getting the top companies to audit you, ensure that every year you do a thorough review of, you know, whether you're doing some of these things correctly. More importantly, ensure that you value the time and effort that is put in this process of getting things in a nice process way, so that it's very easy for somebody to come and check any of the data we have in a very short time.
Okay, now what made you guys so process and documentation driven? Because it's quite unlike a typical, you know, Indian entrepreneur, and especially one with a very technical background like yourself. So what made you, I mean, what made you and your team become so process and documentation driven?
So you're asking a good question. The software companies in general are very process driven, and India has very good process orientation in software companies. But the field I belong, which is hardware, especially the analog area, where people like to be very creative, and very little process orientation is there. Look at the problem Cosmic had. We had several customers, and we worked with several foundries. We had all kinds of data. So at any point of the time, the amount of data we were handling is humongous, whether it is NDA, whether it is agreements, whether it is several regions, etc. So unless we put a process in place and follow that meticulously, we will never be a successful company. So we realized that very quickly, and that's why we didn't do ISO certification for namesake. We really took it to our heart and ensured that all the process we believed. We had actually a technical person drive the process. We never brought in a quality person. Our VP engineering was also a co-founder of Cosmic Circles, drove the process what we need to have. So we were only having a limited number of process, and we wanted the process to be followed meticulously for the success of the company. And we truly believe without that we will not be able to scale. So the entire belief and ensuring that we have a process which only we believed in, we never did anything which is outside, which we didn't believe in. So all this helped us to ensure all this are in place.
No, that's great, because a lot of entrepreneurs believe it's essentially the entrepreneurial passion, drive, and, you know, market facing kind of aggressiveness which really gives you great success. But you have proven that adherence to process and following systematic documentation practices can help a company scale and grow very fast. And that's great. Now, I just wanted to, you know, rewind a little back to where you began. To make people understand why is it you are where you are, you know. Tell us a little bit about, say, your family background, some of your passions while growing up. I understand you are originally from Shivakasi, then migrated or moved to Bangalore. So a little bit about your background, you know.
Yeah, so I started, I was born in Shivakasi, but did my first initial education in Bangalore and then moved to Shivakasi again. And I studied in Tamil medium, switched on again to Bangalore because my father was working in Bangalore and my mother was working in Shivakasi. And my mother had this fear with all the issues with the quota system in Tamil Nadu at that time. I might not be able to get an engineering seat in Tamil Nadu. So that's the primary reason she moved me to Bangalore and I lived with my father. And I studied in Bangalore in St. Joseph's College, and then went back to Tamil Nadu again in R.C. Trichy, and I finished my electrical and electronics engineering in Trichy. This was the background. But the education I got in Shivakasi, which is where I studied only maybe 5 years, I think from first standard to sixth standard, was in my opinion very important. I studied in a school which is called Shivakasi Hindu Rada High School, but they used to celebrate all the national leaders' birthdays as a massive event. And only we had three massive events in a year, which is the birthdays, three national leaders, which is Kamraj, which is the Tamil Nadu leader, and Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru and Mahatma Gandhi. So this kind of, we got a very nice school. We had a very great headmaster who believed in discipline, and he encouraged us to participate in all college level competitions. In fact, when I was studying sixth standard, he allowed me to participate in a competition which was primarily the major participants were all from colleges, BSc, and I took second or third place in the elocution competition. So all this kind of helped me to grow. And the education I had in Sivakasi, definitely the first 5-6 years really helped me in further up in my career.
Oh, great. You know, one of the things which intrigued me is that you being a batch topper in your BTech Electronics and Electrical from REC Trichy, which is today called NIT, in 1989. Around that time, late 80s, 90s, most fellows were running off to the US to do their MS or whatever else. But you instead very atypically went and joined Texas Instruments, which had just then opened an R&D center in Bangalore. So what led you to not follow the US dream and instead stay back in India?
So yes, I did get the university first rank in REC Trichy for Electrical and Electronics Engineering. And as I mentioned to you, there is some amount of the education which I got in Sivakasi probably wanted me to stay in India. And I really wanted to stay in India and do something here. And I did, of course, joining a company was never in my immediate plan. I actually got admitted into Indian Institute of Science, Bangalore. And I was about to join, and at the same time, Texas Instruments had a person by name Mahan Shetty. In fact, he runs a very successful business out of Karnataka even now. A very visionary person whom I have very, very high respect. And he had just relocated from US to start the design center in Bangalore. And I had a discussion with him, and in fact, openly asked him, I have this seat in Indian Institute of Science, and I also have an offer from TI. What do you suggest? But the kind of things he wanted to do in TI at that time, like doing a design completely out of India, all that motivated me, and I just took up a job in TI. Of course, I always regret, after that I never had a chance to do any of my post-graduation, either MS or the MBA, because I was always busy with the job. But having said that, Texas Instruments was a very, very great journey, and I think the decision I took was very right. It gave me a huge opportunity to learn analog circuits from a very eminent person. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, all the key people who worked for Mahan Shetty at that time are very successful entrepreneurs today. So he kind of put in this, the entrepreneurial seed in all of us, and want to do something very innovatively and differently.
So in one sense, you are an intrapreneur who from PI who has become an entrepreneur. And I just wanted to ask you is, you worked at TI unbroken for 16 years, and I understand TI has quite a few people who are like lifers, What really makes it so nice a place, and what did you like about working there?
The first is, you are absolutely right. To become an entrepreneur, unless you are gifted with very good ideas, it's very important to be an entrepreneur, prove it within a company. Which is, in my opinion, very difficult to do even than an entrepreneur, and then take the entrepreneurial route. So coming back to TI, right, I don't know, in general, about Texas Instruments in India, we had great leaders. We had leaders who had dreams, and one of them is the couple of ETF founders like Satam Dasgupta and Shri Rajam, who really had a vision that we need to take Texas Instruments in India as a very successful unit of TI. So we had tremendous freedom. We could define products. We were just not doing a job which is defined in US. We could go ahead and define products, and the products were fully done out of the Bangalore group. And you're absolutely right. Some of them have stayed 25 plus years, and probably will continue to retire from TI. And Texas Instruments also gave us, you have to be a highly ethical person, high integrity person. As a company, it's a very highly ethical company. So all this kind of put the right type of basics in us, and gave us enormous amount of freedom to do what we want. For one example, I would say is I was relocated to Texas Instruments US for 3 years, and my manager, for a month I didn't go to office. I just worked out of home because I was, the moment I ran to go into the office, I used to be disturbed heavily with all type of meetings. So I just took 1 month and just stayed in the house, and believe it or not, I didn't tell my immediate manager, and there was no questions asked. The trust was built. You will go and do, and you go wherever you want to sit, you sit. But no questions are asked. Where you are, why did you come to office? Even till now, he hasn't asked why you how I disappear for 1 month. All he wanted to know was, you know, we are doing our jobs rightly. So anyway, the kind of freedom, the ability to define our own project, the respect our Indian unit built in the eyes of the US, because India was learning semiconductors, US was way ahead. All this helped us to stay for such a long time in TI.
At the same time, I understand that one of the key things that led to the founding of Cosmic Circuits was the feeling that you and your co-founders got that you are getting inverted comma too comfortable. Can you just elaborate on what this comfort or too comfortable was?
Yeah, so the kind of it becomes very comfortable. I mean, TI is a good company. I mean, you are enjoying your job. At the same time, you know, there's entrepreneurial passion was there with all myself and all my co-founders. We all wanted to do something different. And the question was always when, not why. So we were very clear that we wanted to go and do something, but when was the time? And when is the time when we all thought, you know, we should have learned enough so that, you know, when we go out, there's a reasonable chances of success. So TA was, as you rightly said, you know, I had always this dream, you know, whether, I mean, a dream or whatever you call nightmares, whether I will just retire from TA. So because it was becoming just too comfortable, a very good paycheck, the ability to talk with some of the best clients in the industry, all this was happening. But at the same time, you know, the passion was to go and do something out of India and create a highly successful technology company from India. And we were very worried that that dream will get delayed much longer if we continue in TI. So that's the reason why, you know, we just thought, you know, one fine day we just, you know, we have to take it and just quit. And in fact, just to tell you that when we quit, we really didn't have a business plan. We really didn't have any VC contacts. We had, but it was very, very minimal. And we just, all we know is we are quitting one particular date. And everything else started only after we quit the Texas Instruments. We had tremendous belief that, you know, the worst case is we have to go back to one of these companies and which we will anyway get it. So, the TI was a very great journey, but we decided at some point of the time to pursue our passion, we have to quit.
Okay, now, you know, I just want to step into one question which always entrepreneurs are asking themselves, which is, after working with a large MNC like TI, lot of creature comforts, you know, you have a title, a designation, office, all the perks, your family also starts enjoying life in many ways. But when you went into Cosmic, how did you prepare your family? How did you yourself, you know, prepare yourself professionally and mentally, you know?
We come from a very humble background, you know, so we really don't, we come, even today, you know, we don't have a huge monthly drain on our expenses, etc. So the money I have earned in Texas Instruments, I know, is kind of good enough for me to lead the life. And family is no problem, you know, like they were very supportive of what I did. My mother was absolutely supportive of what I did, and my wife and child both had no issues at all. They all wanted to pursue the dreams. In fact, they themselves want to pursue their own dreams. My wife also started a school by herself. Those are all not a big issue. And to the advice I would always say this is, those things are very secondary in my opinion. One, if your passion is very, very strong, I think convincing your family or the risk that associated with that becomes very secondary, and you have enough energy and motivation that the dream is a very, very large thing which you want to chase.
Now, you yourself said just now, you know, that after you left Texas Instruments and started Cosmic, you really didn't have a business plan. And how did things get clarified? How did things get structured? You know, like, how did you say this is the kind of things we want to do, this is the first set of clients we'll target, this is the business model that we'll have? How did it kind of evolve, and I mean, how did it start off, how did it evolve over time?
So mine would not be a perfect example for the entrepreneurs who would be watching this, because I would say that we were probably a little bit lucky. And when we came out, as I mentioned to them, we clearly didn't have any idea. All we wanted is we want to create a highly technology company from India, which means we clearly said we will not do services. I'm not against services. All we said is we will not be doing services. We want to create something in creating some intellectual property or a product from India. So the initial vision was just to do products. So we were also lucky that you know, we wrote up a business plan which in a couple of days, and a venture fund, a very prominent one from US, which has created a few $1 billion semiconductor companies, were very kind enough to give us a term sheet in a very, very short time. And in fact, I was very surprised, and he just told me that you know, the VC told me that it's not that I believe in your business plan. It's just that I believe your team, and you will figure out something worthwhile within a year, and I hope that that's a risk I'm taking. But you know, I hope eventually you'll figure out something which is worthwhile. So he gave us a term sheet. At the same time, people had learned that you know, we all had come out of Texas Instruments, a bunch of guys with analog and design experience, and immediately a CTO from a startup, you know, a startup means it was a $200 million startup. I mean, they were making good revenue at that time, and supplying their ICs to one of the best devices at that time in 2005. So he learned that we have left, and immediately contacted and said, you know, is there a way that we can work together with them, and gave us a very, very large IP project. In fact, he gave us a lot of money when we didn't have computers, when we didn't have a building. In fact, he sponsored our very first business trip. So we got a very lucky person who could just say that, you know, yeah, we will give you this, just come and work with us, and you will be independent, and you have your own IPs, you can license to any other person you want, etc. So then we discussed about whether we will go and take the term sheet and do the products, or just take this IP licensing where we got the funding from customer, and decided against the term sheet. The VC, for the simple reason, we all come from engineering background, we don't have an experience, you know, let's take this and learn for some time before we really go to a VC. And once we got into this project, you know, as I mentioned, things worked out by itself, and by the end of 7 years, we had very, very, maybe 50 plus customers, maybe 70, I don't remember now, and many, many IPs, like 500 plus IPs in our portfolio.
Now, that's one very interesting thing, because today I find a lot of entrepreneurs almost say the first thing I want to do is go and catch, you know, either an angel investor or a venture capitalist. I need to get funded in order to follow my passion, that somebody pays me to follow my passion. And you completely flipped it to say that, look, first you have a passion and you create a name for yourself, and customers or others are there who are willing to support you and fund you. Is that why, you know, over the next 7 years or 8 years of our existence, you never ever have felt the need to raise external capital?
So we wanted to raise capital if we really had a huge business plan that needed money. So throughout the last 7 years, we never felt there was a requirement of huge capital. We were a profitable company right from first year, and we were making enough cash to fund all our R&D projects. And as you know, India is still growing in the entrepreneurship. You know, at that time, not many people were venturing to come and join a startup. So even if I take a large capital, whether I can recruit hundreds of people in this area is all very questionable, because in fact, my opinion is even today we are learning. We are not as matured as Israel or Silicon Valley in terms of creating high-tech startup companies. People are very comfortable in the MNCs like Intel, Texas Instruments, and very rarely people are coming out and to start on their own. So to answer your question, yes, we did raise capital because we never felt the need for the money. But to answer the other portion of your question, I strongly believe a customer traction is far more important than venture capital. So if a customer is able to say, hey, I like your product and I'm going to even give you an advance money for that development, it's a far more recognition of, you know, I have a better business plan. In fact, throughout the 7 years of Cosmic, we had a couple of ways we would do it. One is customer traction, and second is ecosystem partners. So bulk of my R&D was supported by ecosystem partners. Ecosystem partners to me is, if I am successful, indirectly, well, whether my partners will be successful. And if they believe that if I am successful, they will also be successful, then they would help me. It could be a financial grant, or it could be an advice. But I had always ensured that the ecosystem plus the customers supported and blessed all the R&D activities we have. So the number of failures we had were much lesser, just because we are kind of blessed with these customers and the ecosystem partners, and what's the right thing to do for the company.
one of the reasons that people take VC money or venture capital or investor money is to get visibility in the right circles, you know. Now, one of the things that you seem to have attracted is the attention of Mr. Lip-Bu Tan, the founder of Walden International, who is now both the chairman of Walden and the CEO of Cadence, as an advisor and then the board member. How did you manage to, you know, get this, pull off this coup?
So, see, one of the good things about India is, you know, there's certainly a lot of expectations out of India, right? And our electronics market is going to touch $1 trillion not very far away from now. And so there's a lot of hype about India markets. Sadly, we still have a lot of, we have not made too much efforts to capture that market, which we need to do aggressively in the next 10 years. So since there is a lot of hype about India markets, and the talent of India is very well known in the Bay Area, etc. So a lot of VCs were already, very actively working in Bangalore. And so Lip-Bu is one of the, the greatest person. I was very fortunate to meet Lip-Bu. So I met him when he was not Cadence CEO. So he has been following. He was the chairman of Walden, which is a $2 billion venture fund. And Lip-Bu has created very successful companies. He's in the board of SMIC, used to be in the board of, maybe still in the board of Flextronics, Creative. He got very successful. All the electronics ecosystem companies, he was in the board and he had put in money and made them successful. And so though Lip-Bu was such a great person, whenever he comes to India, he used to make sure that, he would give, in fact, always he used to send a message saying that, I want to meet you for 30 minutes, because we don't have a sense when he will come to India. So Lip-Bu was very active and he wanted to ensure that he's in touch with all the Indian companies, and he has been following us, he was following us for a long time. So at a point when we thought, we require an Excel member to join our board, because we wanted to get, next level of this. First 5 years are fun, but the next 5 years you really want to scale the company and grow. We really thought we need somebody very strong, highly reputed to join the board. And since Lip-Bu already knew us for the last 3 to 4 years, he was very kind enough to join the board without any hesitation.
Now, one thing you mentioned, based on what I'm hearing from you about Lip-Bu, is how a senior man like that is tracking a very small startup out of Bangalore. Okay, and you also mentioned about Israeli and Silicon Valley having high-tech product startups and the ecosystem being very friendly overall. Why is this such a challenge in India?
So the first is, you're absolutely right. Just to talk about Lip-Bu, I used to tease him. He used to attend all our board meetings very, very meticulously. It used to be late night, and he used to participate fully. And I used to always tease him, you probably had in the morning a board meeting of several $1 billion revenue, and how are you able to cope up with the numbers change so dramatically between these two companies? But anyway, so you're absolutely right. That the passion of building the ecosystem and is much, much stronger in America and Israel. And believe it or not, it is very, very strong even in smaller countries like South Korea, very strong in Taiwan, very, very strong in China. In India, India has grown lost in a big way in software services, and it is a very low risk. You become very cash positive very quickly, and we have kind of become too comfortable in that model. I think it's time we have to start focusing on IP product related companies, building this ecosystem without which these companies cannot be successful. So the point that we are tremendously successful in software services has in one way hindered our growth in my opinion, the ESDM or the electronic opportunities where you have to infuse capital, take risk. Out of 10 companies, maybe 2 will be successful. But eventually the wealth will be created in a very large way. I think we are just learning those concepts now. We are already seeing changes. And people like Lip-Bu, who really have made very successful investment in China, want to do similar things in India and want to make sure that we are well connected. I'm just saying Lip-Bu is one example, maybe there are many more. And all these initiatives will help to create an ecosystem which is there today in other countries in Asia, which should be a role model for a country like us to follow.
Okay, one of the things in your company that I understand you wanted to do differently was to keep the IP licensing portion and the products business not under the same company, but perhaps differently. Why did you have this kind of a motivation? And especially since, you know, as it is, you're trying to develop the ecosystem and bootstrap startups find it challenging to raise money just for one part of the idea, and to have it separated would make it even bigger challenge, you know. So how did you go about, why do you feel like this, one? And number two, at which stage did you recommend separating these businesses?
So to answer the second question first, you know, we separated only just before our exit. Okay. Yeah. So the way in which you see, this is the fundamental reason. Startups should be very focused, and they should live or die if the business is successful. If you have a combination of 2-3 businesses, if one business is successful and the negativity of the other business never comes to your attention, and as a CEO of the company, you kind of, you know, somehow you're not accountable even if the other business is not doing very well. And let's say you want to take funding. It's very difficult to go to a venture capital, a capitalist, and say, hey, I'm doing this X, I'm doing this Y, I'm doing this Z. You know, I want to raise $5 million of revenue, $5 million of capital. Nobody believes you. The venture capital really would believe a company which is very focused and raising capital for that particular business, and you do or die with that, you know, if it is not successful. And later on, once you become a $100 million company, then you have the freedom to spread your wings. So if I have to restart some businesses today, I would have a very focused business. If it's product, it should be a very different company. The customers are different. The partners are different. The venture capital system is different. I wouldn't ever confuse it with an IP licensing company, which will probably never require a venture funding throughout its existence, and also might not be a very attractive place for a venture capitalist to invest. So it's very, I would strongly advise, keep it separately. And how do you fund this, etc., is something you should manage within the structures. You can have a separate subsidiary or whatever it is, but certainly the company should be accountable, should have a freedom to raise venture capitalist money, should have a separate identity, separate brand. And that's the only way you can you can compete with the Asian companies in Korea and China in similar area and be successful.
Now, if you were to look back at your journey with Cosmic, what are the top few things that you think Cosmic did right to reach where it did? And you have mentioned one or two things that you might have done differently. But were there any specific mistakes that you can also highlight?
So the first and foremost we did right was getting the validation from customers, ensuring that all our R&D efforts or whatever the our ideas are kind of blessed by the ecosystem partners. When I say blessed, it is not that I like that idea, but they really come and say, I'm going to give you this much money for developing this idea, and I know that this is going to be a successful thing for me indirectly. So that is something which we strongly believed is a right step we did. In terms of the negatives, the most important one would be what I said. You know, we started the IP group. Once it was successful, we started a fabulous group. Then we also started a systems group. So we were providing a solution which is at a component level, a small portion of a component, and then a component, and then the bigger end equipment. And I think it was a very wrong thing to do. It should have been separated as a separate companies and with separate CEOs, and then we would have probably accomplished far more better, which is what we have done now. We have separated the fabulous portion of the company before selling our IP division to Cadence. It's called Serum Systems, a company which is focused on creating power management and sensor ICs. And once the brand is established, it's very easy for us to go raise capital, because product companies really require a lot of capital. So we are far more in a better position today to raise this capital. So in terms of good, one positive point, customer traction, ecosystem partners, blessings. The second, in terms of improvement, separate identities are for the different businesses we were focusing on.
Okay, I would have actually even pointed out some more things, but you already highlighted your dedication to process and documentation, and the fact that you were highly focused right from the beginning. But one of the things as an entrepreneur is sometimes your work becomes all-consuming and you tend to forget the other parts of your life. But how did you manage this transition between work, work and personal life, and maintain that balance? For example, I understand that you generally like to put in only 8-9 hours of focused work, play shuttle badminton every evening. Is it really something that you truly believe in at any stage of a startup? And you think that entrepreneurs should have this kind of a discipline between personal and professional work, life?
See, the life as an entrepreneur, life in Texas Instruments was no different because, as you rightly mentioned, you have to be an intrapreneur to become an entrepreneur, and we were almost doing it like our own company in DI. So the life was as stressful as that. But it's not because of the entrepreneur. You need to have a good life throughout your career, and the journey is far more important than the result, right? And these are all the standard statements. But and I need to point out that one course which made a big difference in my life was Stephen Covey's First Things First. So I took this course maybe in, 94, 95, and I kind of religiously followed this course. The First Things First, or the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, is the first one. And one of the seven habits is First Things First, which is also given as a different course. Is you need to have this balance. So to achieve your mission, to achieve your the passion, what you have, you need to have a balance, and you need to have a systematic way of ensuring the time you put in is towards the goal you have. So I was a total believer in Stephen Covey's Seven Habits, and I've given this course to many people within Cosmic. I mean, not as a trainer, but as a best practices sharing in many of my industry peers. And I always believed, I need to. I have 40 hours a week, and at that 40 hours, I need to spend productively across multiple roles I am playing. And I was very clear that I need to spend significant time with family and also, things like badminton, which keeps me physically fit, and read many books, which keep me mentally fit. All that I completely believed in it. So I never had an issue of whether it's a startup or whether it's TI. That's the way I'm going to work, even for the next 15, 20 years. And it's very important you have a balance, because I'm sure the startup entrepreneur is under a lot of stress. And you spend 13, 14 hours, you get irritated, and there is a couple of fires with your co-workers, and that takes another 1 month to fix. Instead of all this, you just spend the right amount of time productively, have a good time outside of your office. I totally believe that the productivity is way higher when you work 8 to 9 hours focused and spend much of the time outside, so that the entire journey is very pleasant, and and the co-workers also start enjoying working with you. So this is something I totally believe, and I strongly believe an entrepreneur should. There are sometimes there will be some portions of your life, like during the exit, you need to probably put in 30, 14 hours a day. But on average, if you look at a 7 years career in Cosmic, I would not have put more than 40 or 45 hours per week. I believe it is very important to do that.
It's very heartening to hear an entrepreneur who says that he did other things, in his life apart from just his business, because we see so many entrepreneurs get so consumed that it's almost that they're getting burnt by their business rather than actually adding some more significant value to their business. So,
one point I want to add, because since you brought in a very interesting point, is the only way you would do this is also to make sure you have a very strong team. So our founding team was very strong. So we had one very strong engineering person, and our CTO was only focused on strategy. And we had one person who could take off all of the finance, government relationship, admin, all the things which are really non-technical. So the point I'm trying to say is, if you want to have this balanced life, you also need to have this a very good sounding founding team, or very good whatever the team which you believe in, and completely empower them to do their job. So essentially you trust whatever they are the experts in their field, you just kind of trust them that they will do the best in that. And if you don't have that, then you kind of start chasing everybody, and then your life becomes 14, 15 hours of life every day. So it's very important to have a balanced life, to have a very good team, and you totally empower them. First, you pick the right team, and then totally empower them to do their roles successfully.
I think that's an interesting and very important point a lot of people miss out, is the importance of co-founders and what value a very holistic team can bring to the table, And I think thanks for bringing this out. Now, I'm going to end with a couple of questions about the next part of your journey, which is as part of the deal with Cadence, your IC and systems businesses were spun out into a different company called Cyril Systems, and now you are an investor and advisor to Cyril. So what is exactly the vision that you have for Cyril?
Yeah, so Cyril is, as I mentioned before, is a fabulous company. It was a business unit under Cosmic Circuits selling ICs. So it's one of the first fabulous company out of India, as per my knowledge, which has shipped nearly 25 million ICs so far. So our vision for Cyril is very simple. We want to be one of the highly recognized fabulous companies coming out of India. So fabulous companies means creating products, and our products are already being used in top tier electronic gadgets, top tablets in the world. Today already it's used in top tablets in the world, also top cell phones in the world. And we really want to expand this company and create world class products. And as I mentioned to you, in electronics and semiconductors, India, though our local market is so large, our local creation is very, very minuscule. So we need to spend a lot of time in creating. It's a lot of technology to be created, a lot of wealth to be made in the electronics and semiconductor industry in India over the next 15 years. So our vision for Cyril is to become a very recognized fabulous provider and in the area of analog and mixed signal ICs.
Now I understand that apart from Cyril, you're also making investments, angel investments in other companies, especially in the fabulous semiconductor product area. Plus, you're also actively involved in building the semiconductor industry ecosystem by working with government bodies or also helping VCs with due diligence in the sector. You know, 5 years, 10 years down the line, what is it that you would like to see happen in the sector that will make you feel satisfied as a professional?
See, this industry, as I mentioned to you, that we are lagging behind definitely with bigger companies, countries like China. But leave alone, even with smaller countries like Taiwan and South Korea, we are way behind. So to get this industry kick-started, which is a very different, by the way, very different approach, like putting risk capital, accepting failures, which is very different from a traditional services industry, we need a lot of policy changes from the government, etc. So if you ask my vision in the next, I don't know about the next 5 years, but the next 15 years, I would like to participate or be a key enabler in creating at least 10 fabulous companies, with each company making, you know, in excess of $100 billion revenue. So I want to focus in the next 15 years in product plus IP companies, creating a lot of, the intellectual properties in India, and by the way, being recognized for creating very high value companies out of India. So this is my focus, and for this we need to put the efforts in multiple things. One is very active venture capital system, working with government bodies on policy changes that is required, getting very talented people all around the world to relocate to India, or at least work with India in an advisory role or in some role. So there are multiple ways we have to attack this, and I would be participating in many of this with many other of my colleagues in the industry.
So from corporate executive to intrapreneur to entrepreneur to now investor, activist, enabler, Ganapati Subramaniam has really traversed quite a far distance from the young schoolboy in Shivakasi. Would you say that I'm right? And can you leave our viewers with a few lessons that you've learned from your entire journey so far, a few critical bullet points?
So first is, yes, I would like to be what you are saying, a key enabler in creating the semiconductor ecosystem in India. And the key things in entrepreneurial journey, in which I have only few things to tell. I know only about this industry, which is electronics and semiconductors. Our local market is very large, and India is making very, very small amount of products in this area. China has gone far ahead. South Korea has gone far ahead. We really need the best brains today working in the multinationals or abroad to come out and tap this opportunity. It's not going to be long. We will lose out in a big way as a country to other countries. Just for example, the electronics import is going to be almost in the same line, or even more than the oil import, which will probably push our dollar to rupee ratio in a very bad way. So it's very important that we focus on this industry, and there's a lot to be done. I really going to request anybody watching this, sitting in a multinational with 15-20 years of experience, to start come out and start acting out and creating products here. And by the way, by which we will do a lot of service to this company. There's a lot of unique products to be done for the kind of population segment we have. So that's the only the most important thing which I would say as an entrepreneur. In terms of key lessons, we have already covered. Ensure that you're focusing on process, ensuring that you're getting top people on the board, never miss out. And keep that, one of the main things that the entrepreneur will say is share. I mean, don't think all the equity has to be with you. Get a good founding team. Ensure that if there is a VC who's going to make a lot of impact to you, no problem in getting them as long as he makes a good valuable advice or, are very important for your strategic development, please bring them in. Have this mindset that you want, there's no harm in sharing. And also it is not a single person effort. I don't know, there's a very famous quote, don't be a star, part of the galaxy. Be a part of a galaxy. So there's no point in becoming a star, just be a part of a collection of stars.
So, Ganapati, I really wish you become a fabulous, fabulous evangelist. So with this, we come to the end of this Entrevista interview with Ganapati Subramaniam, the co-founder and former CEO of Bangalore-based Cosmic Circuits. We wish you the very best, Ganapati Subramaniam.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.